Welcome to another Rebel Room post-game edition. Ray Brewer, Ryan Green, Case Kiefer coming at you. San Diego State 63, UNLV 57. Are we on the way to the NIT? The question of the day.
Yes.
Yes. Case.
I'm going to say no. I think they're going to find a way to sneak into this thing.
Would I be considered a homer if I say I agree with you?
No, because they have a good chance still, but I mean, there's just nothing that this team is doing consistently right now that tells me they are going to get wins at New Mexico and at Colorado State, which they will need, or that they can beat BYU or San Diego State, which they would have to do in the Mountain West Tournament to seal it.
Exactly, and San Diego State, sixth-ranked team in the nation, 25-1 overall. As good as advertised, very impressive. UNLV, give them credit. They were down by 10. They rallied. They actually took the lead with 4 minutes to go. Ultimately, though, you can't go 1 of 15 from 3, 12 of 19 from the line, and expect a win. A valiant effort, but in all honesty, San Diego State is great. UNLV, not so great. In my humble opinion, UNLV probably doesn't have the one guy who wanted the ball in his hands late. Green, your take, my friend.
I agree. They don't. You know, we talked about this when we got back to the office. This is just a team right now without an alpha dog, and it has been for much of the year. You know, Trayvon Willis was that guy last year, but hasn't consistently been that guy this year, and hasn't been consistently that guy to the point where teammates are going to rely on him in the clutch. And you know, that was a game that I think that loss is going to be tougher to swallow than almost any losses teams had this year for the fans, because they had the game won. They, you know, when they were up 55-54 with 3 minutes left, there was no excuse not to win that game. San Diego State hit one field goal in the final 9 minutes and 50 seconds. And, you know, UNLV had all the momentum. They had 18,500, a great crowd today. They had them behind them. And, you know, they got back into the game from a double-digit deficit by chipping away and driving to the basket, getting to the foul line and finishing at the hoop. And then six of their final seven shots were threes.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's my point. I think they forgot what got them there. When they got that one-point lead, I mean, Bryce Masamba came out of nowhere, who I wasn't expecting much out of, got him to chip away lead. I think Trey made one big shot that gave him the one-point lead. I watched so much more of this team last year than I had this year. I was expecting Trey to take over there, and I guess, I mean, it's just the story of the season that he hasn't. And then some of those threes, I know we were talking about earlier, some of them were open. I think Stanback took in a couple of okay ones that you think one of those two will go in. But there were also some of those six threes they shot were just bad shots. I don't think you want an Anthony Marshall three from the corner with a guy kind of converging there at the end.
You dump off the Sarge wagon.
I didn't think that was a great time. I think Trey took one bad three. I can't believe, I think I speak for a lot of fans there too, why take so many threes there at the end when you have a shot at this game?
Well, and especially when Malcolm Thomas is in there with four fouls. You know, you've already gotten Billy White out of the game. Carlwell's limping around on that knee. And Malcolm Thomas has four fouls. Why not hammer right at him? I don't get it. And, you know, I never thought I would say this in the last three, four games with how bad he's played, but why not feed Masamba? Because I was ready to write that guy off for the season after the last couple games because Kruger wasn't trusting him at all enough to put him in for real minutes. And he had his best game of the year today. So, I mean, that guy's as responsible as anybody for them overcoming that deficit.
And I thought what was impressive for me is how they came back. And if you tell me UNLV's down 10 and they come and they erase the lead, I'm like, boy, somebody got hot from outside.
Yeah.
Started hitting some threes, but they chipped away. They played great defense there in the second half, took the ball to the hole. Marshall and Belfield were driving to the basket, creating some shots. Bryce was great, 5 of 5. You know, 6 boards, 11 points in 21 minutes. Great game. It's just they got all the way back, and then they fumbled it at the end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hate to go back to, you know, they're bringing the ball down the court, and you look at the five guys in, and you're like, well, who's going to take the shot?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and Stanback, who at the beginning of the year was the savior, who looked like he was great. I think you even told me, correct me if I'm wrong, that he's got a chance to go to the NBA.
I did say
okay,
that.
Just double-checking. He
I'll stand by it.
Okay. He funneled down a little bit, 5 points, and leads UNLV 18-7 overall, 6-5 in the league. In a real rough spot considering the schedule coming down the home stretch. Green, how do you see it landing?
The best thing they have going for them right now, there's two things. One, the bubble is incredibly soft this year.
Ooh.
You know, I agree. And two, at the end of the day, they're going to have three home games, or a couple home games to end the season that other teams in the league will not have because the Mountain West tournament's played on their home floor. The thing is, though, like I said earlier here in the podcast, what is there right now that tells you this team can win big games? You know, their one win over one of the top teams in the league was a one-point win against New Mexico at home that, in all honesty, could have gone either way because of just awful execution at the end of the game. They are going to have to win at New Mexico and at Colorado State, in my opinion. They have to win both. One loss to either of them, I think, is crippling and probably means that they have to win their conference tournament.
Here's my question. What if they split those two games and win one game in the conference tournament? Then where does that put them right on the bubble? I mean, maybe having the three extra teams in the tournament this year, maybe we see UNLV take advantage of that.
They're still alive then. It's going to come down to because they do have some other things going for them in terms of outside factors. You know, Wisconsin beating the top-ranked team in the country today. That win is keeping their RPI in the top 30 right now. You know, the Kansas State it's still going to get some credit. Virginia Tech was at even strength back then. That's going to still get some credit. The non-conference is going to carry some weight, but it's just so disappointing to watch. You know, this is my third year on the beat, and this is the third straight season when they've been a shoo-in for the NCAA tournament in late November, early December, and they've had their backs against a wall in February. And it's got to be getting old for the guys involved, I would have to imagine.
And the soft bubble might play into their benefit this year. What kind of respect does the Mountain West have across the board? Is it a four-team league?
That's true.
And if they are, is UNLV that fourth team?
Well, and that's the thing. The three teams after BYU and San Diego State just keep kicking the crap out of each other. You know, Colorado State beating New Mexico today. Colorado State's only got three losses in the league, and New Mexico's got five now. You know, they're tied with UNLV in that four spot. The coveted spot right now is going to be that three spot in the conference tournament because you're going to want to play Air Force on Friday. You're not going to want to play Colorado State or New Mexico. So, you know, UNLV still has an outside shot because they have a game against Colorado State. Colorado State still has to play BYU and San Diego State on the road. I do not think Colorado State's going to be that three team. It's going to be UNLV or New Mexico, and it's a race to the finish right now.
Well, I think if UNLV's the three, they win a league, they win a game in the tournament.
They should, yeah.
And then I think they're okay.
Well, then in the tournament, who do you think they have a better chance of beating in the Thomas and Mack in the tournament, San Diego State or BYU? Because maybe if they lose one of those two that we're talking about, they need to win that to assure assure that they're going to get there.
I think that playing that tournament at home, huge advantage for UNLV. But I don't know if it's as huge as I used to think because the other schools travel real well and the ticket prices are so high and our economy is so bad. It's not like that place is getting packed like it was 4 years ago when they rallied to beat BYU. I mean, last year, New Mexico had, I thought, a great showing. BYU had a ton of people there. San Diego State, you saw the people they drove in today. It's not like it's going to be an all – it's not like that guy that gets on the microphone is going to say, oh, I want you to yell. It's not that home court of an advantage.
It's going to be brutally neutral. They do everything they can to make it as neutral as possible. You know, UNLV's not in its own locker room. It doesn't practice there leading into it. They have the Tom Holmoe memorial black wall built around the court, making it feel like a hockey arena. Their logo's off the floor. And like you said, the fan bases. You know, BYU and San Diego State have top 10 teams, which means their fans are going to travel. So if anything, UNLV might be at a bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll go to the point. I mean, and this is just women's basketball, but UNLV played Wyoming last year in the tournament, and there was like three UNLV people there, and Wyoming had like 2,000 people. I know it's just women's basketball, but just because it's here – And the boys team is not that good.
The boys?
The men's. The boys, men's. Boys to men, ABC.
Wow, now they're downgraded to boys.
Ray
Brewer's eyes.
Lost to a top 10 team does to you.
But if they win this game, then it's if they're 19-6 and 7-4, with the win over Wisconsin that just beat Ohio State today and a win over number six San Diego State, I think they're looking great.
They're looking a lot better than they are right now.
A lot better. Folks, earlier before we started the podcast, we had some friendly wagering and debates going on. How far will San Diego State get in the tournament? I don't think they're getting to the Sweet 16. My colleagues here disagree. Colleagues?
Well, and I'll let Case get the first crack of this, but we need to preface this by saying that you are a UNLV grad, and you got a little bit Homer in there.
But I'm a Billy White fan.
So we're just gonna put that out there as a disclaimer because I think it needs to be said.
Here's my biggest thing. I think today sold me on this team more than even before because I was never that impressed with DJ Gay. Look, I know he's a senior. He's been there for 4 years. But I thought maybe if they get a real bad matchup, face a team with some good guards, that maybe they could go out in the second round. But today, I got to tell you, DJ Gay was just so in control of that game the whole time. I mean, 20 points. It was a day where, I mean, Kawhi Leonard had a double-double, which you expect. But it just really seemed like DJ Gay was the best player on the court, and I never would have thought that. I was always kind of indifferent on the guy. Now I really believe in him, and I think that if they're in a close game in the second round where you think they're going to go out, I think they have that point guard that can be big down the stretch.
Well, DJ Gay, I'll tell you what, because last year he was a liability. It was his first year playing point guard in his life, and he had some bad games. This year, you know, what is it, 158 minutes now in a row without a turnover? No turnovers in 40 minutes today. That's incredible. This is a guy who's a rudder for this team. How many big shots did you see him hit in the first half? 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Guy who was about 67% coming in. He's saving his best performances for big games. When they won at the Pit, he scored 30-something. I mean, the guy's a killer right now. And, with that front court, they're going to beat up on whoever they face in the first round, and they're going to have a distinct advantage over whoever they face in the second round. With the soft bubble, their second round matchup likely going to be a team that they are way better than. At that point, it's a crapshoot if you get into the 16. I think this is an Elite Eight team. I don't know if they go farther than that, but I think they're going to be on the doorstep and have a chance at making the run to the final weekend of the college basketball season. And from there, I think it'll be matchups.
And I agree with you that the soft bubble will play in their favor. I got some stats here. They played 8 guys today. But of the bench players, the 3 guys off the bench scored 4 points in 24 combined minutes. You got to have a little more. I know you tighten your rotation in basketball, but you got to have more than just basically 5 reliable guys. Injuries, fouls.
Well, you've got to keep in mind that 2 regulars were not playing due to injury today. 2 guys who will be back by the end of the regular season. And Tapley and Shelton. And I understand what you're saying. The thing though is, in the NCAA tournament, you can get away with playing 6-7 guys because it's 2 games in a week. At that point, I think fatigue and everything sometimes gets overblown because at that point, guys are just running on adrenaline. And when you look at this team 1 through about 7, it's the best team in the Mountain West Conference. And I think it's definitely one of the top 10 teams in the nation.
Because my next question was San Diego State or BYU, who goes further? And it seems like you're thinking San Diego State.
I think so, just because every year that Jimmer Fredette's been there, they've played someone in the second round who knows how to stop Jimmer, or in the first or second round. It's when they get to play in the big boys and giving teams a week to prepare. I don't know. I think BYU will win a game and can maybe get to the Sweet 16, but I wouldn't put the life savings on getting out of the first weekend.
I think that's a good point, and I do think that Ryan Green is more of a Mountain West expert than myself, but I don't know why. I just have a feeling. I think BYU is a little bit better. I like BYU maybe to go around further. I could see it going either way. Look, they're both great teams. I think it's getting the Mountain West some respect with how good these two teams are, but I guess I'm just going to lean with BYU to make it around further.
The one thing that makes me lean to San Diego State is that I compare what I've seen in the last 3 years of BYU and San Diego State. BYU is always a disciplined team. They're always structured. They're always disciplined, and they always have enough talent to make it work. San Diego State always has more talent than just about everybody in the Mountain West, but always plays such sloppy, undisciplined basketball. And for whatever reason, maybe it's the veterans and just knowing how good they are. This year, San Diego State is playing such a more mature brand of basketball than they have in the last 2 years. And honestly, the only thing I see standing in their way is the NCAA screwing them on the seeding, which they inevitably will do because they do it to Fisher every year. So
especially last year.
So I don't know. You can say I'm on the San Diego State bandwagon.
So break this tie for us, Brewer. I mean, we know you got San Diego State one and done. Do you have the Cougars and Jimmer one and done too?
Well, see, my thing with BYU is they're a lot better than I thought they'd be.
Agreed.
And I just, when you look at that roster, if you take Fredette away, I'm not, it's like UNLV, you know, who's going to score, who's going to play defense for them. I still think they give up way too many points.
Yep.
And I would think, as much as it pains me, I guess, that San Diego State goes further. But, I mean, obviously only time will tell, and great for the league that, you know, come Monday morning when the polls are released, there'll be likely two teams in the top 10 from the Mountain West. And for UNLV, you know, looking at the glass, you know, half full, they had leads against both those teams in their own building, just couldn't close the deal, even though, you know, they got ran, you know, out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the glass is half full. It's going to be interesting to see how UNLV reacts the next time out against Air Force.
In front of about 5,000 fans.
Are they?
I would have to assume, right?
Are they going to be? I mean, they're all going to be at the Gorman High School game that day, probably.
I wouldn't blame them.
I bet you this loss looks real good to Shabazz Muhammad, by the way.
No comment.
Ryan Ludwig mentioned Bishop Gorman today. So you're the second notable UNLV alumni to talk about Gorman.
Yes, class of 99. Okay, one last question, and I hate to ask these comparisons. Who do you like more in the tournament, Kansas or San Diego State?
Kansas. They're more talented.
I mean, I think you have to take Kansas. Oh, not even being a homer.
You guys are homers.
Perfect.
Wow, okay.
Perfect.
All right. Not even gonna touch that one.
Two Kansas grads.
Not even gonna touch that one with a 25-foot UNLV 3-pointer.
Folks, thanks for listening. As usual, we had a fun time breaking it down. Maybe next time, my opinions will be proven to be more accurate. We'll see.